The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
Silly Underdog Picks, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, also by Superbook Sports. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason, Nick Keiser is here. We say hello to the panel. Kelly Holcomb, Chris Sanders with us. And I was just told we have no George Plaster today.
Oh, no.
So I don't know what's up. I don't know where Plasmo is. The commissioner is in Tampa. At Predators Morning Skate, so he won't be joining us. I mean, just not a good participation today, guys. What is going on
here?
Well,
you're one to talk about participation.
Absolutely. That's fair. that is a fair point. I mean, but, hey, I'm here.
What is so important in your life that you've been gone for a month? I mean, good gracious.
2 months.
I was here last week for most of it. Look, I'm a busy man, Kelly. You know, I got
Nobody's that busy. Sorry.
Hey, Chris, go wash your hair in the rain, okay?
You said me?
Yes.
Oh, man, my hairline's back too far. It would work.
Hey, you know, this has just surprised me. Like, I didn't realize we were still doing this, man. The competition's over. I mean, other than Derek and Chris, I mean, can I be like George and just leave?
You got to play it out.
You got to play it out, man. I mean, look, it's Cancun on three. That's kind of where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. You know,
Derek, whatever, man. With all that play it out garbage.
Come on, you can't quit, man.
Man, come on, man.
Yeah, Kelly, how was doing some of the state title games?
It was okay. There was a couple bad ones, but for the most part, I mean, the games that I had were. You know, you as broadcasters, you guys know this. You always want a good game so you don't have to feel for an hour, you know?
Yeah.
So it was we had some pretty good games, though. There were some pretty competitive games. And then, you know, I think most people that we thought were going to win did win. So, you know, it's always fun to do that. I did four this past week, which I've never done that many. So that was pretty cool.
Good, man.
Yeah, and Chris, sorry about your big red, man.
No, it's all right.
Great season, though.
Hey, good season, man.
My feelings still hurt, man.
Hey, I know. Good season. Get attaboy.
Hey, shout out to...
what?
Attaboy. Yeah, there you go.
Shout out to Marcel Reed, named Mr. Football.
My heart is still broken.
Oh, yeah. Congrats.
Yeah, Mr. Football, so that was good. Oh, yeah, all right, let's get to the review, because apparently I get to do that today.
Way to go there, buddy.
Because the commissioner has left me in charge. So we start with the college picks in week 14. George Plaster led us off with the first pick. He went with North Carolina, +7.5 against Clemson in the ACC championship game. And that did not go well at all. Clemson destroys them 39-10. No points. Not even close to a cover. And I actually thought that was a good pick.
I did too.
That's what I think a lot of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was not a good week for the panel. I'll just go ahead and say that. Derek Mason was up next. He goes with North Texas plus 8.5 against UTSA. And UTSA rolls 48-27. So another loss there for Derek Mason, who still sits in second place.
Man, I looked at that score, and it was the third quarter, like the beginning of the third quarter, and it said 40-7. I said, well, there we go. I'm not winning.
We might have a guest picker for George.
Okay.
Working on that, by the way. Up next was Chris Sanders.
Yes, sir.
The SEC championship game. Oh, this one was kind of fun, but was never really close. He goes LSU plus 17.5 against Georgia, and Georgia wins it 50-30 to win the SEC.
Oh, no, I'm blaming that on Caroline. I mean, you got to do that. I mean,
That's true. That's right. I forgot about that. Caroline ended up.
I was trying to go with North Texas, but Derek took it.
Well, it wouldn't have mattered anyway.
So she picked with her heart.
Yeah, but hey, we good, though.
That's all right. You're still in first place.
Thanks, buddy.
I had the next pick, and at that point, I was just like, I just want to try and get a win. It didn't work. A 4-point dog in UCF against Tulane. Tulane rolls 45-28, so I can't even get the 4 points. Just pathetic.
I mean, and then Kelly. With a competition.
No, I'm last right now. I mean, like, I'm just trying to get past plaster at this point. That leads us to Kelly Holcomb, who had the last pick in college. He goes with the Purdue Boilermakers, 16.5 against Michigan. Michigan wins 43-22, so nothing doing there. And Purdue loses their head coach, Jeff Brohm, to his alma mater in Louisville.
That's what I was about to say. You got so pissed off, he left.
I know. I like that move for him. I mean, I think they upgraded. Satterfield goes absolutely to Cincinnati, and I think Jeff Brohm's an upgrade.
Absolutely.
We go into the NFL. Kelly goes with the two-tone, the Titans, plus 4.5 against the Eagles. A.J. Brown says no, runs all over them, catches two touchdown passes, 35-10 the final as the Titans get blown out by the Eagles, and then their GM gets fired.
Yeah, I was quite shocked at that. You can always kind of tell that the Titans are going to be in games, but man, sometimes, and you guys are former Titans, man, their offense sometimes is just hard to watch. I mean,
I know.
It was not good the other day.
No, it wasn't.
And I don't. I mean, do you think it's more play calling or personnel or a mix of the two, Kelly?
Well, I don't know. I don't keep up with it like that. I mean, I've always talked about Ryan Tannehill. I'm a big Ryan Tannehill fan because, he's had to fight his way, back from, getting drafted by the Dolphins. But, I think losing the kid that showed up the other day, A.J. Brown, was huge for him. I mean, and when the kid that they drafted, the Burks kid, I mean, when he goes out, I mean, who do they have in the passing game? That's what I'm saying. Like, who do they have? Like, if you're going to stack the box, you know Derrick Henry's going to get the ball, so if you stack the box and they're not scared of receivers outside, you're in an uphill battle in the NFL.
Yep, agree with that. That leads us to me. I let Nick pick for me the Saints plus 3.5 against the Bucks, and that was looking pretty good up until Tom Brady got the ball with a minute left.
Yeah, sorry.
And yeah, it's all right. Bucks win at 17-16 as Tom Brady leads another comeback at the end of the game. They were down the whole game.
That was a good pick, though.
It was a great pick. Very good. Chris Sanders goes with his favorite, the Houston Texans, 7-point dog against the Browns, Deshaun Watson making his return. Mm-hmm. Browns roll 27-14, so no points for Chris. But again, he still finds himself in first place.
Man, I'm still doing pretty good. What, I got 97? So basically the competition's over, right?
Nah, not yet.
We didn't go that far. We'll get to that in a second.
I know.
D-Mace takes the Dolphins, a 4-point dog against the 49ers. 49ers roll 33-17, even after losing Jimmy G for the season. Brock Purdy, yes, you've never heard of him, gets the win, and he'll be the starter moving forward for San Fran.
Damn. That's all I can say. God, seriously?
Damn. And then finally, Plaz takes the Bengals, a 2-point dog against the Chiefs. And he gets the win, 27-24, as the Bengals and Joe Burrow win their third straight against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. So that brings us to the standings. Chris Sanders leads with 97, but Derek is catching up, 89.5 in second place.
Ooh,
Kelly Holcomb.
Yes.
Close.
Kelly Holcomb is third with 62.
He's
Plaz is fourth with 50.5, and I'm bringing up the rear, 43.5 in fifth. So coming up now, we don't have any college games, obviously, to pick. We'll do that next week with the Bulls when they start. Do you guys want to pick two NFL games or just one?
How can we? Can we?
Yeah, we can pick two NFL games. Let's do it.
That's fine.
Let's do it.
All right. That is what we will do coming up next. Kelly will have the first pick as the Silly Underdog competition continues, brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Silly Underdog picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason here. Willie Donick is at Morning Skate in Tampa. The panel, Kelly Holcomb, Chris Sanders, and picking for George Plaster, News 2 sports director Corey Curtis.
Is ah.
Big save.
To call in. What's up, Corey?
Well, hey, gang. I was just sitting poolside, but Jeff ran four and he was telling me that you never bet against Dan Fouts and the Chargers. So I'm ready to pick for Nashville's best.
Very, very well done.
Oh, my goodness.
So I have a confession, and Kelly's going to yell at me, but that's fine because I'm trying to be the commissioner here. I was wrong. Kelly doesn't have the first pick. It's actually
Ooh.
D-Mace. So
I was hoping you were right, but I didn't think you were right. But I'm
no,
good that.
That's my bad.
Need to go with it.
That's my bad. D-Mace, Chris, me, Kelly, and then Corey picking for Plaz will be the order.
Well,
so
how about we have Corey be the commissioner next year? Y'all don't seem to want to do it. So
yeah, no, that'd be great. I mean, the commissioner is like me and only shows up half the time. So, you know, there
you
go.
I mean,
dependability is not y'all's forte, that's for sure.
No, no, it's not. So with that, let's go to Derek Mason. It's his favorite song, favorite time.
All right, here we go. I'm going with the Buccaneers, -3.5 over the 49ers.
Well, -3.5.
No, I want
plus
the Buccaneers.
Yeah,
plus
okay.
3.5. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm plus 3.5.
Right.
Yes.
Bucks against the 49ers. Tom, he trusts. All right, so he goes with Tampa Bay, a 3.5-point dog. On the road against Brock Purdy.
Purdy.
And the 49ers. All right, interesting pick. That leads us to Chris Sanders.
Yes, sir.
All right. I haven't won in the last couple of weeks, but I think this is definitely a winner. I'm going with the Rams over Las Vegas.
Oh, the game tonight. So you're going with the
right,
the bake show. Okay.
That's 6 points you could possibly get.
Oh, that's
even know what Chris, he doesn't even know what the snap count is, and he's
yeah, like you're going with a guy that's been with the team for 2 days, and he's expected to play quarterback tonight.
Rams, baby. All right. Hey, just have y'all phones ready when they win.
Hey, he just landed this morning.
Hey, he knows the plays, man. It's right, double T or something. He's good.
Okay. All right.
Say so.
That leads us to me. Not now. On your knees, dog. I think I'm about to shock everybody with this pick. Jacksonville Jaguars, +4 on the road at the Titans. Too much distraction going on for the two-tone. And I think Jacksonville is a lot better than that record shows. So give me the Jags.
There we go.
Anybody think that one?
No, I think that's a good pick.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That leads us to Kelly Holcomb.
We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Players done gone fishing.
In the rain.
Okay, so I don't think this can keep happening, but Joe Burrow has never beat the Browns. I'm going to pick the Browns.
Ooh, I thought about that.
I was looking at that one, Kelly.
Oh, man.
I don't think that's a bad pick.
It's a good one.
Well, I mean, it's got to end at some point, but maybe, you know, hopefully not this weekend.
Yeah, yeah. So the Browns, 5.5-point dog on the road, be Deshaun Watson's second game as a starter against Joe Burrow and the Bengals. That brings us to Corey Curtis, who is picking for George Plaster. Corey, you're familiar with the rules?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hit the music.
Well, my good friend, former Braves catcher, Biff Pugel, the Lions as a favorite. We'll go with the Purple Rain and the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay. Vikings +2 on the road against Detroit.
And then right. I get the wraparound, right?
Yes.
That is correct, yep.
All right, and I know George needs points. Not enough points on the board here, but we're going to give him points. Jeff +10 against the Bills. And one caveat, if these both hit, we have to replace Kelly's red Solo cup phone and string with something that actually works so I can hear it.
We always thought he was at the neighbor's house talking, you know, screaming.
First of all, I didn't hear him. Is he talking about me, obviously?
Yes.
I don't know. My cricket's not picking up.
Yep. So that leads us back to Kelly Holcomb.
Yeah, and with Corey running his mouth like that, he does not need to be back on the program.
No, I think he fits right in.
Yeah, he fits perfectly in. Okay, so since he took my pick, I will take I'll say the Carolina Panthers beat the Seahawks.
Ooh, okay. Panthers now without Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold back in there, +3.5 on the road at Seattle. Seattle's kind of come down to earth a little bit as of late. But still very much in the mix for things. So Kelly goes with the Panthers. That leads us back to me for another pick. I don't know if I truly believe this, but they need this one.
Mm, don't.
Give me the Giants +7 at home.
No.
Against the Eagles, who are just red hot. So I'll go Giants +7.
That's actually 6.5, Chase.
6.5, okay. All right, thank you for that, Deputy Commissioner. That brings us to Chris Sanders, who I think I might have just taken his pick.
Yes, you did. I'm going with the Los Angeles Chargers.
No.
I wasn't going to go with it, but he took my pick, man.
No.
The Chargers on Monday Night Football.
Oh.
3.5, +3.5 at home against Miami for Chris Sanders. All right, D-Mace, you have the final pick.
The final pick. Gosh, man, oh, man. Give me – I want so bad to take the Houston Texans over the Dallas Cowboys. They can't even figure out who their quarterback is. They just put Mills Davis back in. But you know what? With that being said.
Or Davis Mills.
Or Davis Mills, whichever one. With that being said, give me the Houston Texans. Give me the Texans.
Oh, that's the worst pick I've ever heard.
I know it is. It was either that.
I mean,
I wasn't picking against Baltimore. I wasn't.
I could understand it, but I expect more from you, D-Man.
I wasn't picking the Steelers. I refuse to pick the Pittsburgh Steelers, even though I like Tomlin. and the Cardinals and Patriots, it's only like a 1.5 point spread. Like, no. If I'm going down, I'm going down. Okay? I'm taking a 17.
Well, you're going down, baby.
Exactly. I'm taking a 17. And I will get the last laugh. Who laughs first doesn't laugh at all.
That's a Chris Sanders pick.
Yeah, that is a Chris Sanders pick.
Yeah, I gotta say that's a Chris Sanders pick.
I'm surprised he didn't take it.
He's rubbing off on me. You know,
yeah, that's yeah. I don't know if that's good, even though he's leading. Let's review our picks. Two NFL picks this week in the silly underdog competition, brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Derek Mason leads us off. The Michigan State fight song plays. He goes with Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, +3.5 on the road at the 49ers, now led by Brock Purdy. Chris Sanders was up next. He's going with tonight's game. Baker Mayfield reportedly could play tonight after being claimed off waivers earlier in the week by the Rams. The Rams, +6.5 against the Raiders. He goes with Los Angeles. I go with the Jacksonville Jaguars in town this weekend against the Titans, getting 4 on the road. A crazy week for the two-tone blue as John Robinson fired as the general manager of the Tennessee Titans. Then Kelly is up next. He goes with the Browns, +5.5 against Cincinnati and Joe Burrow, the Bengals. Corey Curtis picking this week for George Plaster. He takes the Vikings, a 2-point dog on the road against Detroit. Vikings have been having a good season, but Detroit kind of upstart as of late. He goes with the Purple People Eaters. He then has the next pick, takes the Jets, +10 against AFC East rival the Buffalo Bills. Kelly Holcomb up once again, going with Carolina, +3.5 against Seattle. Seattle has struggled a bit as of late. I take the Giants, +6.5 at home against the Eagles. The Eagles flying high right now, hoping the G-men will knock them off. And then Chris Sanders takes Monday night, the Chargers, +3.5 against the Miami Dolphins. And then finally, in what Corey Curtis called the dumbest pick of all time, Derek Mason.
Dumbest, I said the worst.
Worse. Okay, well, either way.
I would never call Derek dumb. I would call it dumb. I would never call Derek.
That was the worst. But
Texans,
you know what?
+17 against the Cowboys.
Hey, you know what? I wish all of you bad luck. Okay.
I wish
all of you lose your games and I win mine.
Well, I will say this in the words of Willie Donick. Gentlemen, good luck.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
It's been a pleasure.
She's not going to call me next week. It's not going to hurt my feelings.
Now we're just going to call you even more, Kelly. I mean, that's just what we're going to do.
Kelly's not going to pick up his red cup phone.
No, he's not.
Hey, Corey,
don't hate on my cricket, dude.
It's Corey still on the line.
You know what? The string broke and I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, Corey's still here.
Hey, Corey.
Yeah.
You know what I think about you being on the show?
Don't do it, Chris. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't want them. Don't need them.
Don't need them. All right. Thanks, guys. Corey, good to talk to you.
Hey, it's been an honor, guys. A lifelong dream.
Yeah. Very, very well done. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sports book. We'll get back into the Titans. John Robinson, yeah, I just picked the Jags. What do you think? We'll discuss coming up next. Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. We're presented by Hair Club. Regrow your own natural hair through non-surgical options that deliver impressive results. Hair Club, love your hair, live your life. Appreciate the panel for joining us on Silly Underdog Picks. You can play online at thegamenashville.com as well. We'll check in with Willie to start the 1 o'clock hour and talk to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet as well. Todd Downing is up right now addressing the media. Let's check in here a little bit from the Titans offensive coordinator.
He has to play with the skills that he has and the skill set that he's dealing with. And I think he's done a nice job of progressing in some areas, and obviously consistency is the common word I'll say with everybody. He's just got to make sure that he's as consistent as possible in those techniques.
You guys given Any thought at all to, I know you've been pretty much committed to Dylan at guard, but any thought at all with these inconsistencies that you mentioned and giving him some snaps or reps, even a practice at tackle?
Yeah, I think we're looking at all options, you know, and I think that Keith and Sully and Haas and his staff, Jason Hodling, they all go through that and process through individual and where they're at from progressions and drills and their pre-practice and post-practice work and all those things. So it's more involved of a process than just, you know, playing a shell game up there. So I feel confident that we're making the right decisions.
Approach things with Chig, whereas like you see him getting these 40-yard catches and runs and things like that. You obviously have things banked for him, but do you ever look at like, okay, he's doing this, let's draw up this to allow him to do that, so to speak?
Yeah, I think opportunities are earned in this league, right? And certainly he's done well with opportunities he's had, and there are a lot of times that things are designed with him as number one or number two in the progression. The ball just might go somewhere else. Or when you're not converting third downs and you're not sustaining drives, you don't have the opportunity to get to some of the stuff that you may have designed for him. So, you know, Chig has been doing a nice job with what we've asked him to do. You got to make sure that we keep getting opportunities to get him the football.
So it's safe to say, like, as you're seeing him make more plays, you're going back and looking at other ways that you could kind of design to get him the football.
Sure. Similar to the comment I made about trailing, right? When the quarterback sees production from a certain player, or we as coaches see them handle that environment well, gives you great motivation to give them more opportunities.
Following up on that, and you did get the ball to him more in this game, but you're saying if things don't pan out, it sounds like you're saying if things don't pan out with other people, we don't get to the stuff where we want to get to Chig. So it kind of begs the question, why not go to Chig earlier to get to plays for other people?
Sure. I understand the question. I would say that it's mainly talking about our run game and complements with the play pass, building complementary formations and personnel groupings. So sometimes it's not just, well, we want to try this route to this guy, and if it doesn't work out, we'll come back to Chig. My point is that when you can't build a rhythm as an offense, it's hard to call those plays that you have designed for.
Have you been somewhat restricted with what you could call for Ryan in some cases because of a lack of mobility, and maybe you're just starting to think that could be opened up a little bit more with him moving around a little bit better now?
You know, I think early in the game you saw Ryan's movement come back a little bit. You know, he was moving the best in the first half of the Philly game as he had in weeks, you know, and that certainly is a piece of his game that is an asset for him. And so, as he's feeling more and more healthy, and we see where he's at with, coming out of the Knicks from the Philly game, you know, we'll see how much we can move him. Thanks.
There you go. That is Titans offensive coordinator Todd Downing. And Derek, we've been talking about this for weeks of Chig Okonkwo getting him more involved. And yeah, I just, what did you make of that answer?
It was one of those answers that, you know, it's hard to answer because, you know, you don't want to, you know, say that you want to force feed the guy. You don't want to say that, you know, we're going outside the game plan just to get to Chig the ball. But you do understand that he is a playmaker on your offense. He's one of few playmakers on your offense. So, you know, you have to get him the ball. But you don't want to get it, you know, do that, but then, you know, at the cost of the offense not, you know, being as explosive as they possibly can. You know, you want to get it to them. That's why I said last week when Titans played Philadelphia, AJ wasn't force-fed the ball. The opportunities came up, and they threw it to him, and he made catches. They didn't, like, just try to go to him by any means necessary. They allowed the game to dictate what they were going to do with A.J. Brown, and it worked out perfectly. I think that's what Todd is trying to say here. It's like, we want to give him the ball, and we have designed plays for him, but sometimes, you know, the defense has taken it away and we've had to go to other people, or sometimes we wanted to go to other people and defense has taken that away and we've thrown it to Chig. He basically just wants the game to come to him. Don't force feed him, but allow the game to come to him and allow his natural ability of playing this game take over in a sense. And that's what he has been doing. I think they've made a concerted effort to add him into the game plan to at least give him an opportunity. But I think during the games, he's gotten the ball not necessarily because they force-fed him, but because he was a part of the progression, and that's where the defense end up not necessarily making Ryan Tannehill throw the ball, but they left Chig open, so Ryan, you know, he found the open guy. But I don't think they're sitting there trying to get the ball to Chig, which, you know, at this point, maybe they need to, you know, because now that Traylon Burks is down and you don't know if he's going to play, then you have to get your other playmakers involved. We've seen this offense, Chase, with Burks and with Chig when they are going out and making plays, when they are contributing to the offense. We've seen what the offense looked like. We've seen what it looked like. We've seen what it looked like when they haven't. I would rather them, you know, get them involved early and see where our offense go from there rather than, okay, let's see where our offense go, and then we will give the ball to Chig or even Burks.
Yeah, and look, I think that they've stumbled into something where they have two pretty good pass-catching tight ends.
Yeah.
And Hooper and now Chigakonkwo. It's just using them more. I have no issue with throwing to the tight end, especially guys like Chig, that he's big and he can make plays, mm-hmm. you know, downfield. He's a downfield threat. I'll be curious to see if Racy McMath adds anything to the passing game. Not expecting a whole lot, but, you know, he had a good preseason, a good training camp. You know, so what can that do? Are you going to get Kyle Phillips back at some mm-hmm. point? You mentioned Traylon Burks and what, you know, his status is going to be this week. I wouldn't feel too good about it, but, you know, it's certainly something that we got to keep an eye on. They'll practice later this afternoon. We'll get an injury report. The injury report yesterday did have him still in the concussion protocol, did not practice. Denico Autry, Trey Avery, CJ Board, Traylon Burks, Christian Fulton, David Long all did not practice. Nate Davis, Hassan Haskins, Derrick Henry, Ben Jones, Jeffrey Simmons, Ryan Tannehill, T.R. Tartt were all limited with various things going on. So that was yesterday's practice report. Trevor Lawrence did not practice either, the quarterback for the Jags, out with the toe injury.
Interesting.
615-737-1025. Let's go to Nate. He's got a question on Titans personnel. Welcome in, Nate.
So, based on what Derek said the other day about younger guys just basically keeping their heads to the ground and keep grinding while the veterans are kind of a little more concerned about this, I think that's a great pick, Chase. I don't know. To me, and tell me if I'm not 100% present when I say this, to me, the Titans team is more of a veteran team than a younger, non-established team. Because if they were younger, then I think I would feel better about them having a clear mind going into the game this weekend. Yeah, Vrabel is a great coach, but when you have a huge distraction and a lot of uncertainty, then there's only so much you can do as a coach.
Thank you, Nate.
Thanks,
appreciate
Nate.
It. This roster is a mixed, I think. I think the offense is more veteran-led. And when I say veterans, I'm talking, you know, 6, 7, 8 years. Than say the defense, because a lot of these guys are, you know, third and fourth years. You know, I think with the exception of Kevin Byard, who else? Denico Autry. I think he's been in the league, what, 7 years now, 6, 7 years? Bud Dupree. And I think that's really about it. Everybody else is young guys. T.R. Tartt, he's a young guy, just got drafted not too long ago. David Long Jr., who's questionable, he's a young guy. McQuarrie, Hooker, Fulton, these are young guys in your system. So this is a mix of younger guys and veteran guys, but the offense is more veteran-heavy, I believe, than a defense is.
Yeah, No, I think I would agree with that statement. You know, and we'll see, like I said earlier, how they're going to go for it. Are they going to try and get younger or, you know, semi-rebuild, or are they going to try and keep this window open? You know, time will tell on what's going to happen there. Coming up next, can Mike Vrabel be the same type of coach he has been even now with more control? We'll discuss that coming up next. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. You can join us tonight at ML Rose Capitol View, 431 11th Avenue North, for Preds Watch Party as they take on the Tampa Bay Lightning at 6. Come watch the game, get some Preds swag, and also enter to win tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Be sure to check that out. I'll have pregame for you at 5 right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Derek with you. We'll talk to Elliot Friedman coming up in just a few minutes from Sportsnet. Also check in with Willie, who is in Tampa for the game tonight. But can Mike Vrabel be the same kind of coach that we've seen from him now that, you know, maybe his duties are going to change a little bit? It's still kind of vague on what that's going to look like. You know, maybe it stays the same for the rest of the season, but you know he's got more input now on personnel decisions. I'm not really worried about him as a coach, but I bring this up because you saw some things change when, well, and I'll use the Titans as an example, but when Jeff had more power, you know, the coaching style was the same, but he was getting worse players. You know, is that going to be the case here? I mean, you've seen coaches around the league that have had, you know, player personnel decision-making abilities, and it hasn't, for the most part, worked all that well. Bill Belichick is obviously the exception, but he also had Tom Brady. And without Tom Brady, it hasn't looked as good. They're not a playoff team. So I do wonder, you know, how things are going to change. But coaching-wise, I mean, I still think he's going to be the same coach he's always been. You know, I don't think you're going to see the offensive scheme magically change this weekend with Todd Downing now that John Robinson's gone. So you got to keep that in mind as well.
No, I don't think you're going to see, because especially moving forward for the remainder of the season and into the playoffs, I don't think you're going to see any drastic things that are done from a coaching standpoint. I don't think Vrabel's coaching style or his message is going to change now that John Robinson has been relieved of his duties, and you know, Mike and Ryan are sort of, it seems like they're making these decisions together, and then ultimately Amy has to sign off on it. But I don't think there's going to be any significant things done during this time. So I don't think his coaching style changes any. Now let's ask that question once the season's up. And then you may see either Mike in more of a more of a pivotal role in selecting players and evaluating players, because the draft will be coming up, or you will see him, you know, in the role he's been in for the last 5 years, is, you know, he go to the combine, sit back and watch, and a lot of the interviews and whatnot are being done by the GM. But that's going to be interesting to see that dynamic after the season, not necessarily during the season, because he said it. I mean, there's not much you can do, and that's why many was like, well, why would you fire John Robinson now if there's not much the GM is doing at this particular time, because of it being, you know, after the trade deadline, closer to the end of the season, going into the playoffs. So I don't see – we've already seen a few moves, but those were – moves that are not going to necessarily affect this team this year.
Right. Yeah, I mean, look, they're doing what they can. But I don't think it's going to, you're past the trade deadline. So I mean, you're not going to be able to do a whole lot. No. Somebody on the text line said, "Would you sign Odell?" No.
No.
I wouldn't even think about it. I think Tim was talking about that earlier. I mean, he's kind of a situational guy at this point. Like, I,
He's not healthy, people. He's not 100% healthy and ready to go. And for the Titans, he would have to be a number one receiver if you bring him in here. He would have to be. And he's because of the injury in the timetable, he's just not that guy at this particular time.
Yeah. Earlier today, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Derek. Earlier today on FanDuel TV, Taylor Lewan, Titans left tackle, went on with Kay Adams and kind of talked about where he's at in his career and his rehab with the ACL, the injury that he had. And the second question to me is the one that really stood out, where he's at mentally right now through all of this. This is what he said.
Do you think going through an injury or going through another injury, does it make the thought of returning and those 60 minutes on the field more precious to you? Or does it make you think more about being a dad and what you want for your future?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the appreciation for getting on the field with 2021, obviously the way my season started, the way my football season started in 2021 was abysmal. And that was just when you play at a dominant level, and this is not for me to give myself flowers, but when you play the way I played for as long as I did, it's one of those things where, you know, you knew it wasn't going to last forever type thing. And so now I'm put in this position. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things to think about. I know that there's going to be other teams that would like to have me on their team and work for them. But, you know, I've said before, I love Nashville. I don't think with my personality, how I act, how I handle certain situations, I don't think there would have been another city that have taken me in the way Nashville did. So I need to really sit down with my family after this year and really figure out what is the plan for me. What am I going to do? And just go from there. But I'm not leaving anything out of the equation right now.
So are you thinking about retirement?
I don't know. I think I think everything's up in the air for me right now. I think the important thing is here's where I really have my conversation with myself internally is I have played this game for a long time. I remember playing in college and I remember my first couple of years in the league and playing the way I did. And I've always said to myself, I'm not going to go and watch the demise of Taylor Lewan. I don't want to be that guy that ends up, you know, oh, he's still chasing the dream. He's been on five teams in 4 years. And there's guys that do that. And there's nothing against that. This is just how my brain is wired. And so I need to see how this recovery goes. And in my head, I'm like, okay, you can still be a dominant player in the NFL. You can still play and you can stay healthy. Those are all the things that I really need to evaluate when I'm going through this process, or do you hang them up with still some tread left on the tires? And, you know, like I said, I have a phenomenal life. I have an incredible life. I do a podcast with my best friend. I have the most amazing wife in the world, the best kids. We live in an amazing city. So it's there's a lot to evaluate. I'm not making any decisions now, but it's just something that does come in your head when you're 31 years old playing this game.
That is Taylor Lewan with Kay Adams. And I'm just going to tell you my takeaway from that, Derek.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not a Tennessee Titan, he's retiring.
Well, that's sort of the hint he gave. You know, players go through this. And, you know, whether it's year 5 or year 15 or year 10, you go through that, you know, am I still mentally capable of playing this game from a mental standpoint, meaning because there's just so the job is stressful, and you know it's almost that self-evaluation check every 5 years. You know, am I mentally and physically, can I do this? Well, physically I can, mentally am I still in it, am I still having fun? Okay, check, I'm still having fun, still in it mentally. All right, another 5 years go by, am I still in it mentally and physically? Well, man, it's starting to get a little bit, you know, a little bit too much to get up every game. So, you know, he's making that decision. And the bad part about his decision is it's all these decisions or these things are running through his head and he's injured. It's not like it's not like he's playing where he has something else occupying his mind. Like, I got to play. I got to prepare for Jacksonville. I got to make sure that I'm doing the things necessary to be back on, you know, to make sure I can play, stretch, work out, all this other stuff. So retirement never comes into your head, or that thought never really comes into your head. But now, because he's injured, he's had time to sit back and reflect and think, man, do I or can I continue to play this game at a level that's beneficial to the team that I'm on?
Yeah.
And that's a decision he's going to have to make after he gets healthy. And then, you know, sometimes it's not even your decision.
Right.
Sometimes teams may look and say, you know what?
Well, you look, over the cap 30, number, he can't play on that cap.
Exactly.
Number.
You can't play on this cap number. You're over 30. You've had two knee injuries. You know, you can't be a starter for us. You know, teams might, you know, go that route. And if they do, is he willing to be a backup? Even here in Nashville, is he willing to be a backup? You know, right. To may never play again, just sit on the sideline. Is he okay with that? I don't think he is. I wouldn't be as a player. You know, you've played at a high level for so long, and then because of injury, you have to, you know, your play has diminished, and now they're telling you you're nothing more than a backup. That's got to be hard on somebody that has played, you know, at a level, you know, that has put him, you know, in a situation where he's made a lot of money. At one point in time, he was considered a top two or three tackle in this league. To that, going from that to, okay, you're nothing more than a backup, a swing tackle. That's hard to swallow, man. Sure. It really is.
No doubt. Coming up next, we'll talk to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, get the latest around the NHL, and talk some Preds with him. That's all up next. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.